Well, good morning to you all. Good to see everyone this morning as we have come together and worship our God. And we certainly are encouraged by those of you visiting with us. We're glad that you are here. As we focus our attention on the things that God reveals in His Word, and also joining in and worshiping Him with us as we sang praises to Him and offered our prayers before Him, and especially remembering what He had done for us. And I hope that has been an encouragement to you, and that you will consider our Savior, the Savior of all mankind, and especially for your soul. And again, we are encouraged by your presence, and we hope that you have been encouraged by the things that we have been engaging in this morning. As we come to a close to our, year 2021, our theme has been in reference to living victoriously in Christ. And even though this year is coming to a close in reference to our theme, I hope that you will keep and remember the concepts into 2022. Because again, that this is a choice. We have to choose to live victoriously in Christ. And so what I will do this morning is get some reminders of some of the things that we've covered, especially the key thoughts in reference to living victoriously and for you choosing to live victoriously in 2022, even as we engage in another theme for 2022, that they will remain connected to you. Because remember, these thoughts came from 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 14 and 15, where we are told, or it should be 15 there, but thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and manifests through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of Him in every place. And as he points out, we are the fragrance of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. And so in regards to these thoughts, I hope that you will focus in on the reminders of living victoriously in Christ. And the first thing that we mentioned and talked about, I hope as a reminder of what we discussed in this theme this year. And at the beginning, we need to keep in mind or remember the one who leads us. That has to be the uppermost thought in our hearts and minds, of remembering the one who leads us. And the reason why is because of what we read in Revelation chapter 19 and verse 16. Because the one who leads us, remember, he is King of Kings, Lord of Lords. There is no one above Him. And so if He's leading us in victory, we're going to reach our destination. And so as we remember these things, as we even get into the next year, and make the connections of God's teaching to help us to live continuously, to live victoriously in this life. Another thing, in reference to remembering the one who leads us, is those passages over in Luke chapter 11, verses 21 through 23, and also Mark chapter 3, and verse 27. As Jesus was teaching His disciples, He pointed out a very important thought to them, to encourage them of who He is, what He was going to do. And He gave this in this discussion in reference to going into a strong man's house. So in verse 21 in Luke 11, He says, "When a strong man, fully armed, guards his own house, his possessions are undisturbed. But when someone stronger than he attacks him and overpowers him, he takes away from him all his armor on which he had relied and distributes his plunder. He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters." And in Mark chapter 3 and verse 27, Jesus says, you can't plunder his house unless you go in and you bind the strong man. This is what Christ did for us when He went into the realm of the dead. in dying for you and me, what he did was he overpowered the one who had power, Satan. He bound him, the devil. In fact, so the Hebrew writer even made mention of this over in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 9 through 15, where Jesus rendered the one who had the power of death powerless. How did he do that? By going into the realm of the dead and binding him. Fulfilling the point that God had made in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, in crushing the head of the serpent, but the serpent would bruise his heel. This is what Jesus did. So we need to remember the one who leads us. He was the one that overpowered and rendered powerless the one who had the power over death. And as John writes there in Revelation chapter 1, he has the keys of both death and Hades. That's why we need to remember the one who leads us. And that's, as we remember him, we're going to live victoriously, because he's going to be leading us to victory. He is showing us the power that he possesses, and victory is guaranteed to us as we follow him. And I hope that's what you saw all throughout 2021 as we talked about these things of leading or living victorious lives in Christ. In Matthew chapter 28 and also John chapter 20, what you see at the end of these writings or the Gospels, and you can also see that in Luke as well, that see, when Jesus did this, all authority was given to him in heaven and on earth. And what he did was he sent his disciples out to proclaim the gospel. And when the disciples went out, especially beginning in Jerusalem, and Acts chapter 2 points out, what did they preach? They preached about the Christ dying and being raised from the dead, conquering death. Earlier in chapter 1 of Acts, you do see the ascension of Christ. And so when the disciples are preaching about the death and resurrection of Christ, the end result of all of this is when he ascended into heaven, he went before the Ancient of Days, who gave him dominion, power, authority. That's why we are to remember the one who leads us. And as we remember him and put our focus and attention on him, as we choose to follow him, remember, we're going to live victoriously in him. That's the whole point. That's the whole purpose. In spite of what you go through, and especially this year, the challenges that you and I face, the sicknesses, the surgeries, and there were times things were uncertain in regards to the things that did happen to us. But one thing was for certain, is that the Christ was leading us in victory. That was for certain. And that should have given us confidence. And that confidence should carry over through the rest of our lives as we continue to follow the Christ. And so this imagery that you see throughout the scriptures about him is to fill our hearts with this confidence. See, when you go back to the letter that Paul wrote to the Corinthians there in 2 Corinthians, remember the first letter that he wrote to them? They were beginning to put their trust in worldly wisdom. That's what they were doing. And it created division. among them. And some were beginning to even doubt the resurrection as Paul addressed that issue in chapter 15 there. And then he pointed out to them about their lack of faith in being obedient to the will of God. He really pointed out to them that they need to change their ways. He even pointed out to them about how they were to conduct themselves with the miraculous spiritual gifts, because they had the wrong view of it because of following worldly wisdom. And in the second letter that he is writing to them is a letter of encouragement to them, that as they were obedient to those instructions that he wrote to them in the first letter, that they could live victorious lives, and as they continued to follow him, they were being led in triumph. And for them not to put their hope and trust in worldly wisdom. Because in the worldly wisdom, things change here and there. There's a lot of uncertainty. But with God, there is certainty. So when he points that out to them there in 2 Corinthians, it should have been a great source of encouragement for them. Even to the point when it talks about them giving, that they should be willing to give, verses 8 and 9, or chapters 8 and 9, excuse me. That they first must give themselves to the Lord, and that's what they did. And they would be able to give abundantly by the examples of others. Those individuals were living victoriously. And we can do that too. Out of the things that we may have done wrong, or because of them, being separated from God, but yet having hope that we can be reunited with Him. That we can make things right. And as we make things right, by following His will, we will live or be led in triumph. Even you, Corinthians. That's what he's pointing out. And I'm so encouraged by brethren here. In spite of our challenges, as many of us face with the sicknesses, and the prayers that we offered up on behalf of those who were struggling with their health. And God answered, didn't He? He answered. And He answered in a mighty way. And that should have encouraged us to continue to move forward. And I think it has. Many of us. See, when we forget about the one who leads us, we end up living in fear. And when we live in fear, it causes us to pull away from the Lord instead of going to Him and continuing to follow Him. That's what happens when you live in fear. I'll tell you something. The world will continue to promote it so that it will cause you not to consider God, but to consider something else. Like the Corinthians were doing, considering worldly wisdom instead of the wisdom of God. That's what the world does. And it will continue to do so as long as the world exists. Because remember, the God of this world has their thoughts, has their ways and their mind. And what He is doing is He's trying to pull as many as possible away from the true and living God. Pull us away from the one who is leading us in victory. And He's trying to take you down the path of defeat. Because that's where He's going. And He knows it. He knows it. His fate is sealed. But we have the opportunity to choose to live victoriously by remembering the one who leads us as we follow His will. Here's something else that I want us to think about in reference to living victoriously in Christ. As we follow Christ, we follow the Spirit. We follow the Spirit of God. Turn with me to the book of Romans. That whole chapter is just filled with some encouraging, thought-provoking, words. To cause us to look at who we are, as we're following the Christ, we're following the Spirit God. And what the Apostle does, as the Holy Spirit through the Apostle does in these passages, in verse 1, notice, therefore, and that is summing up the things that he pointed out back in chapter 7. And some of the things that was pointed out in chapter 7 is the conflict of the two natures. How will I be delivered from this body of death? And the only one that could do that is the Christ. So he says, therefore, there is now no condemnation against us for those who are in Christ Jesus. Again, that word "in" is a very powerful two-letter word. The concept is enormous. It talks about relationship. Those who have a relationship with Christ, in other words, they remember who he is and they are following him, and therefore they are following the Spirit of God. Notice verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life, notice, in Christ Jesus, the Spirit of life, has set you free from the law of sin and death. So as we follow the Christ, we are following the Spirit, and so we have victory over sin and death. Notice verses 3 and 4. For what the law could not do, what the law did, was the law pointed out, you are sinful. When we violated the law, it just pointed that out. You're wrong. But it couldn't clear our conscience, as we've been discussing in the book of Hebrews. Very encouraging and learning in that study concerning the law, the new covenant that we have in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ has set you free. Let me go to verse 3 there. For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did. How did God do that? By sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and as an offering for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. What is he pointing out here? He is pointing out God's way of delivering us so that we can have and be a part of the Spirit of life was by sending his Son to die in our place. Sending him like you and me, like a man, and dying for you and me. And then in verse 4, so that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but what? According to the Spirit. Notice that, walking according to the Spirit. So if we're following the Christ, we are walking according to the Spirit of life. That's why the theme has been living victoriously in Christ. That is what God has provided you and me. Now notice something else, verses 5 through 6. For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit, life and peace, is contrasted with sin and death. In Christ Jesus, in living victoriously, we have life and peace. So no matter what is going on around us or happening in our world, that doesn't mean that we don't listen to it and prepare ourselves for things that are coming or things that might be happening. But what it does encourage us to realize that we're following this one who is leading us in victory of life and peace. That we can sing the song with fervor and conviction, it is well with my soul. That is the encouragement that is coming from Romans chapter 8 for these Roman Christians. And I'm sure a lot of them probably were going through a lot of things. As the capital of Rome, there was a lot of things happening. A lot of things in place. Some of them probably are there not of their own free will, that they may have been taken captive. And here they are in this situation. And if they read this letter, they committed themselves to Christ, they could have life and peace even in those harsh circumstances. And he addresses this even further. Verses 7 and 8. When you look at verses 7 and 8, what we're learning here, as we follow the Christ, we're following the Spirit, notice, we are pleasing the Lord. And this is the purpose of life. In fact, this is truly living. When we're serving or living to please God. Point this out to you. Think for a moment about that point. That the way we look at these things, we look at them from a worldly standpoint. And if we look at them from a worldly standpoint, then what it's saying is, or how we would think, or how it would impact our mentality, is that God is pulling us away from those things that look like they are a lot of fun. That looks like, wow, that's truly liberty. Living the way that I want to live. Engaging or indulging in all kinds of destructive things. Sin. That's the worldly view of what God or what pleasing God is all about. Pulling them away from these pleasurable things. Not so. Yes, it does pull you out of sin. Absolutely. It does do that. But it gives you a life or a constructive life. A life that is filled with priorities and that fulfills the very essence and purpose of life. That's what it means to live whole. As a single Christian, to be encouraging my fellow man and telling them, teaching them the truth, helping them out in situations or having mercy on individuals. Those who have been downtrodden and then showing them love by showing them the love of God, my life becomes fulfilling. As a married Christian, focusing on my family and encouraging them to live right. And even if they don't, I still live right. I am fulfilling the purpose that God intended for me to fulfill. Whether it be a husband or a wife, as a sister or brother, aunt, uncle, in all of this. And I'm encouraging individuals that they can have life and peace when they set their minds on the spiritual things or the things of God. I am fulfilling that purpose. Now my life is full. It is full. It is full of joy. Because that's what comes along with the peace that God provides. It is filled with contentment. It is filled with freedom that the world doesn't have me and twist me up in all kinds of ways and then at the end toss me out because it has no more use for me. That is the mindset on the world and the worldly things. But with God, I don't have to worry about that. Because after God uses me up, as my physical life wanes, I have eternal life with God. That's a better life. Absolutely. So that means we're thinking from the spiritual point of view that God is encouraging us to think through, as the Apostle Paul was bringing this to our attention. That's truly living. Living a full life. Even on the job, as I set the example in encouraging others and showing that peace in my life, as I do provide for my family and showing them this is what life is about. You see, the wages of sin is death, and the wages of sin is really a wasteful life. But a life that follows the Christ, that follows the Spirit, remember, it is a life of life and peace. Verses 9 through 11 points out how God dwells in us, and we in Him. And what He does is He empowers us. He empowers us to live victoriously. That's what He does. And that's what the Apostle brings to the attention. However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Him. If Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. God empowering us as He dwells in us, His way, causing us to be stronger and stronger. Verses 12 and 13. Living by the Spirit, we put to death the deeds of the body, and we truly live. We were talking about the conscience this morning, and it was mentioned in our study of Hebrews. I want to say it can impact your life. If you are serving God with a clear conscience, it's going to energize you. And in fact, it'll have an impact on your outer being. It will. But if you're not, it's going to affect you emotionally. It's going to affect you mentally. It's going to wear you down, wear you out. It's going to destroy you. But when God is living in us, we are empowered to live a life that is victorious. Filled with this peace. Filled with this joy. And in spite of those things that occur. Do you remember Paul and Silas in Acts chapter 16? What happened to them? They had been beaten and thrown in the prison. But they remembered who leads them, and they realize as they follow Christ, they are following the Spirit, and what do we find or read about them doing? Singing and praising God in the innermost prison that they were tossed into. Yeah. And as they focused on those things, they even impacted those around them. And even led to the conversion of the Philippian jailer. Isn't that amazing? And his household. That is remembering the Christ. That is what it means to follow the Christ and therefore following the Spirit, and the mentality changes, the viewpoint changes, and it impacts us. And as verses 14 through 17 tells us, we are children of God. We are liberated from sin and its destruction and loss. We are heirs of victory. That's what those passages are pointing out. How encouraging is that to the Roman Christians? As they're listening to those things in spite of what they have been going through. And then what is also in connection to all of this, which is interesting as well, verses 18 through 25. In verses 18 through 25, he shows us that God has amply supplied us with help. Yeah, we have help to help us to live victoriously. And he talks about the hope. He talks about the surpassing glories. And we look forward to the surpassing glories as we're heirs. Verse 23 tells us we are adopted as sons for the redemption of our body. Just a clear picture of hope. And then you look at verses 26 through 39. In God supplying help, we have the Spirit who intercedes for us. Now, as we point these things out, there are going to be times when there are going to be groanings or situations that just so impact us. We won't know how to express this, God. We have one who intercedes. The Spirit intercedes. And what the Spirit does, it provides confidence. As verse 28 tells us, confidence that God works everything out accordingly to His purpose. Confidence that God loves us. And then looking at verses 31 through 39, confidence that when He justifies, it is justified. No matter what others may think, no matter what others may say. That is very key. In the liberty from the world, we are impacted of what the world thinks or being an outcast. But when we think of it the way God intends for us to think, we have confidence that God has justified us because we were obedient, or we are being obedient to His will. We are remembering Him. We follow Him. And so it's going to give us the spirit of confidence that we're justified because we did what God said. We did it the way that He said. And His love has permanently been demonstrated in the sacrifice of Christ. So no matter what, He points out, because of that, we are overwhelmingly conquerors. Because He points something out that is very... He asks this question, who will bring a charge against God's elect? There in verse 33. God is the one who justifies. So someone else can charge me, but if God is justified, that's okay. It's okay. That doesn't mean that we won't point out truth. That doesn't mean that at all. What it means is we're okay. God justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is He who died. Yes, rather, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. The Spirit intercedes. Christ intercedes. We have help. Abundant help. Again, giving us that confidence. And as you further look at these things, he says in verse 35, another question to think about. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? What will tribulation? And I believe when he talks about tribulation here, these are things that are common to every one of us.
Yeah, there are trials. There are afflictions that come upon us that is common to all of us. Because the tendency is to think that God no longer loves me. That I'm no longer an heir as I follow the Christ. The covenant is, yes, God still loves you. It has been permanently demonstrated. It hasn't moved. It hasn't changed. So as you're going through the afflictions, remember the Christ. Remember who you are following. And as you're following Him, you're following the Spirit of God. In fact, you have the Spirit of God. You have the disposition that God is going to work things out accordingly. You've got to trust Him. Continue to do so. And he says, distress. There are distresses that come upon us because sometimes that's the situation we are in. Because there are accidents that do happen. And there are births that does occur. That's just the lot in life, those distresses. They don't separate us from the love of Christ. They don't. And then he talks about the distresses. And then he talks about persecution. That's when someone is bringing challenges and putting you on trial and just making things hard for you because of your faith in Christ. That won't separate you from the love of Christ if you have, or as you follow the Christ and as you follow the Spirit. That's going to give you confidence. And you look back in Acts, that's exactly what you see with the Christians that are suffering persecution. They are rejoicing that they are considered worthy to suffer for the name of Christ. That's living victoriously. You know, I don't have much money. I don't have a whole lot of material things. But the most important thing that I have is this choice to follow the Christ, and that's what I'm doing, and I have all that I need. That doesn't mean that I don't work and provide. It just means and understands that my life is not wrapped up in those things. It is wrapped up in Christ Jesus and the way of God. And when we have that kind of thought, we are overwhelmingly conquerors. We are living victoriously. And many of you have demonstrated that. And I want to encourage you to continue to do so. Continue to do so. You don't realize the impact that you're having even among us as God's people here at Mill Road. I want to encourage you to keep up that attitude. Keep up that mindset. And let me point out this. We must have a victorious faith. What is a victorious faith? A victorious faith is expressed there in John chapter 5, verses 1 through 5, as Brother Keith read to us. It is one that believes Jesus is the Christ. As the world tries to throw doubt on all of that, we have sufficient evidence that points us to the fact and the reality that Jesus is the Christ. That is a victorious faith. We are motivated to obey Him. In fact, it motivates us to be born again. We'll be born again because we believe that Jesus is the Christ. We're of His kingdom. We will do what God requires of us. And not only that, it is a faith that loves the Father and then loves those who are born of Him. Talking about the family of God. is going to love that. That is the greatest band, being of the family of God. In verses 2 and 3, John tells us, loving the Father. That's a victorious faith. Loving the children of God. You see, he does it again. He says it again. That's what he's doing. He's emphasizing and getting it to sink deep into their mind and their hearts as they have been inundated by false teaching. And here he's encouraging them. Don't listen to them. Listen to the true fact of believing that Jesus is the Christ, obeying him, and loving the Father, loving the children of God. Observing, in other words, do and keep his commandments. That's what it means to love the Father. To do and keep his commandments. Verse 4, whoever is born of God overcomes the world. See that? The world did not prevent you from doing what is right. If you allow the world to prevent you from doing what's right, you belong to the world. And as John tells us there in chapter 2, it is passing away. It's going to be destroyed, and so will you. But if you believe that Jesus is the Christ, you love the Father and keep his commandments, you will overcome the world. You have been set free from its grip, its clutches. You are no longer held captive to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, or the pride of life. Because you realize true life and peace is in following the Christ, therefore following the Spirit. Instead, it is John chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. And I want to read those passages because they are important. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. And by this you know, the Spirit of God, every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, of which you have heard that it is coming, and now it is already in the world. You are from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Do you see what John is doing? John is teaching us about a victorious faith. And when you look in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, you are shown that. You are given a description or descriptions of a victorious faith by those that are listed there and others. I think of the woman with the issue of blood, exhausted her means, trying to get well. But one thing, she found out that Jesus was nearby. And she said, if I could just touch the hem of his garments, I will be made well. And she did. And she was made well. That means and demonstrates a victorious faith in Christ Jesus. May that be us. May that be us. That we remember who leads us. And as we follow Christ, we follow the Spirit. And we'll have a victorious faith because we're being led in victory. And may it carry over for the rest of our lives as we obey our God and live victoriously in this life and look forward to the ultimate victory where our bodies are changed from mortal to immortal. That is the victory. And so this morning, my friend, if you have not obeyed the gospel, we encourage you to do so. But before we get into that, I want you to pray with me at this time. Father, thank you for your words that shows us what it means to live victoriously in you. Help us, Lord, to do so. Help us to choose from this day forward. And as we go into the new year, that we'll make that choice again. And the following years, all the days of our lives, that we'll make the choice to live victoriously in you because you have provided that. That we may take advantage of that opportunity. Forgive us when we have not done what you have told us. Help us, Lord, to get up and move forward, knowing that you still care, that you still love us, because you demonstrated that in the death of your Son on our behalf. And may we spend our days living a life of peace, joy, and love in you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
Amen.
So you can become a part of that family through the death of Christ, because he died for you. He died for me. And what he requires of us to take advantage of the opportunity that he has given us is that we need to believe in him. We need to repent of our sins. We need to confess him with a commitment to follow, because we are confessing that he is Lord. He is ruler. And then be buried with him in baptism. That's where you are born again. That's when you become born of God now. And then as you are raised up out of the water, you are a new creation. You're added to the people of God. You are a servant of God. And as you remain faithful, the ultimate victory is yours when we are changed from mortal to immortality. May we have that sink deep into our hearts and minds if you have not done so. We're here to help. We are your friends. We want to encourage you to live a victorious life in Christ Jesus. And you can do so by obeying him. If you've fallen away and want to return, please return before it's everlasting too late. And so, my friend, if you're subject to the invitation, we encourage you to come and make it known as we stand and sing the song that is in it.